This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Hope Cohen. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and she's here to explain the president's push today for billions of more dollars to be invested in high-speed rail. The president says we're well behind other nations that have used this transportation to great effect and great profitability, and he says this needs to be a major infrastructure priority for us now. And Hope, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This isn't something most people have heard too much about. We've heard about the healthcare agenda, the energy reform agenda, education spending, obviously some changes with the tax code in conjunction with tax payment day this week. But what is the president's vision here with respect to high-speed rail?
Well, the idea here is to develop high-speed rail corridors for kind of mid-distance transportation. It's the kind of thing we transportation wonks have been talking about for quite some time. In part because what we have largely right now is a bifurcated transportation system between autos and planes. And there's a mid-distance, basically from about 100 miles to about 600 miles, that is right now you either drive, in which case it's long, or you take a plane. And what we're seeing is more and more congestion and overload of our airway systems. There is another solution for that mid-distance, and it's high-speed rail. And frankly, we're far behind other parts of the world in that area.
What would it cost to put an effective high-speed rail system?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, what the president talked about today is $8 billion in, like, starter money. But everybody understands that that's starter money. So I don't know that anybody's put a price tag on it. What this is, this $8 billion is kind of a, so far it looks to me like a fairly conventional U.S. DOT grant type program where states and localities, well, in this case, states and regions, compete for some amount of money that's going to, like, start them, and then they all have to put in a match, because $8 billion is not going to build probably even one of these corridors, and they've identified 10 potential corridors around the country that would benefit from this kind of transportation option.
We're talking with Hope Cohen of the Manhattan Institute, and Hope, many people, when they hear rail, think Amtrak,
which has lost
a ton of money over the years. So are they
and
involved in this,
high
or is this
speed.
Separate?
It's far from high speed. No, I've always been kind of a train person, and I got to tell you, though, that I became way even more interested in high-speed rail because I went to Japan last summer, and they have it. And it's not like anything we have. And they actually have regularly scheduled train service that goes, 200 miles an hour, essentially, between any two key urban areas. And it's far more efficient. One of the nice things about trains as opposed to planes is that you go from the center of the city to the center of the city. Where the way our urban areas have expanded, our airports are, most of the time, are actually far from our city centers. So when, in addition to the flight time and now the extra security time to get on a flight, you also have your ground transport to and from the airport. On rail travel, it's center city to center city, and that's how it works, for example, in Japan. So that's one of the advantages of rail. And the potential there is that you can actually get people from the center of the city to the center of the city to transact business more effectively and so forth without that transfer component that you have with air. That's actually something we need, and it goes to this whole 100 to 600 mile distance factor. I mean, they're right about that. The strategic vision is correct. Now we've got the problem of the implementation, and you rightly point to Amtrak, which, if that's our example of intercity rail service in the U.S., then we don't want to expand it, right? Certainly not a model that we want to expand.
Hope, you mentioned that you visited Japan, which has this service, and other nations do as well. What did you notice about the impact it has economically? What sort of economic boom could it provide in this country once it's actually done?
It's actually kind of a no-brainer in Japan to go from major city to major city that are, cities that are 400 miles away or 500 miles away. You take the train. You know, if you miss one train, there's another one 10 minutes later. And you get there, the ride is smooth, you get there in comfort, you land in the middle of the city, you don't have any wasted time, as I said, getting from the airport to the center of the city. You actually, because the ride is smooth and fast and uninterrupted, you actually can work effectively on the train. So it's actually a much better way for these mid-distance intercity travel to transact business. You actually, you can, it's much easier to schedule, you arrive more refreshed, you can do business on the train in a more effective way than you can in most airport and plane settings. So there's an enormous amount of potential there. Again, we have to learn how to do it right. The one thing that we in the U.S. kind of think of as our high-speed rail is the Acela service on Amtrak between Boston and Washington on the Northeast Corridor, and it's far from a high-speed rail service. It is not as fast as what you would find in Japan, for example. It's certainly not as smooth and not as reliable. So the caveat here is, as it often is with good ideas, how to implement it successfully.
Hope, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hope Cohen of the Manhattan Institute. This is Dateline Washington.